prayer once more, as we pray over the word and to the Lord to speak to our waiting hearts tonight. Most loving and eternal Father, we gather once more around thy word. We thank thee for this book. We thank thee for the precious living word of God. Lord, we believe this book, every word of it from Genesis to Revelation. We believe it, Lord, to be inspired. All scripture, as Paul has told us, is given by inspiration of God. We know that all scripture is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof and rebuke. Lord, often we have gone to the word and profited from it. Even, Lord, times when we've been cast down, weary, disappointed, we've gone to the word. Lord, thou hast lifted us up with a word from thyself. Now, Lord, come, give us a word from thyself tonight, and encourage us in the things of God. Lord, cause us this night to rejoice. We ask these things in the Lord's name, giving the Lord Jesus all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Luke chapter 10, and the words of verse 20 we'll be considering this evening, as we considered these words in part this morning. Words of the Lord Jesus to the 70 disciples. It sent them out with certain instructions. We're told then in verse 17 that the 70 returned. And they turned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. This morning we considered the words of restraint. The Lord Jesus, the caring shepherd that he is, spoke to the 70 disciples and wanted them to restrain their rejoicing because the demons were subject unto them. And he said to them, but rather rejoice. Don't rejoice so much that the demons are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the Lord Jesus had this word with his 70 disciples because they were rejoicing. And the Lord did not want that rejoicing to deteriorate into the exaltation of self. He didn't want these disciples to become fleshly and boastful. So he had this word for them. Rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. They were rejoicing because of their activity for the Lord. We noted that this morning. They had gone out and served the Lord and returned with joy. It is good that we can serve the Lord with joy. But the service of the Lord is not looked upon by us as a chore, something that has to be done, and we do it reluctantly. No, the 70 returned with joy. They were glad to serve the Lord. And so they rejoiced in their activity. But the Lord said, rather rejoice. because your names are written in heaven. They rejoiced, and their joy was seen in their acknowledgement of the Lord. Because in the report that they gave to the Lord, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, their report began with the Lord and finished with the Lord. It was a summary of their service. It began with the Lord and finished with the Lord. They rejoiced in this, and rightly so. Dear believer, tonight, let us endeavor by the grace of God to serve the Lord and to serve Him from the beginning to the end. That the Lord will be the beginning of our service and He'll be the end of our service and everything in between. We'll be able to say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. They joyed also in their ability in the Lord, because they saw the defeat of the devil. The devils are demons. They rejoiced in this. As we pointed out this morning, what the Lord said to the disciples was not a rebuke. Why would He rebuke anyone who rejoiced in the defeat of the devil? I tell you, believer, every time we see the devil defeated, every time we see the demons of hell driven back, we ought to rejoice and we ought to shout hallelujah for the great victory the Lord has given us. So they joyed because they had seen the defeat of the devil. But the Lord said, rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And then they rejoiced in what they had acquired from the Lord. The Lord had given them gifts. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And the 70 went out and the 70 returned. The Lord was true to His word. None of the 70 were hurt. And they had acquired this power from the Lord. And everyone that serves the Lord, indeed every Christian, needs that power. I mentioned this morning that I came across a little pamphlet I had in my study, contained quotations from C.T. Studd. It aroused my curiosity and I wanted to learn more about C.T. Studd, and I have a biography of C.T. Studd, and I was just reading it this afternoon. And when the Lord worked in the heart of C.T. Studd and called him to go to China, bring the gospel to the people of China, his family, his friends, sought to dissuade him. His mother was ill. And one of his closest friends came to C.T. Studd and tried to dissuade him from going to China. He said, your mother needs you. You need to stay at home. But Studd was convinced that the Lord would have him go to China. And he prayed more and more about it. And he realized that if he was to go, leaving behind a sick mother and members of his family and friends, and he was to go to China and he was to preach the gospel, Studd says, there was one thing I realized I needed. I needed the power of God in my life. C.T. Studd sought the face of God. The power of God came upon C.T. Studd when he got to that place where he surrendered his all to the Lord. Told the Lord to take everything. And he was able to go to China, leaving behind a sick mother, leaving behind his best friend, leaving behind other members of his family to do a great work for God in China. Every one of us need the power of God. And the Lord has told us that we're to seek the power of God that we might serve Him and live for Him. That power will only come to us through prayer and by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Lord told His disciples they were to tarry at Jerusalem, and they would receive power. And after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If we're to witness for the Lord in Jerusalem, if we're to witness for the Lord at home, because that's what Jerusalem was to those disciples, it was home. And we know that Jerusalem is the most difficult place. Home is the most difficult place for a Christian to witness. And to do it effectively, what do we need? We need the power of God. Jerusalem. And Samaria. Samaria was the dangerous place. For Jews to witness to Samarians. Why, that was the dangerous place for them to go, and to go there needed the power of God. The uttermost parts of the earth, that's where C.T. Studd went to. He not only went to China, he went to India. He needed the power of God. And believer, we need the power of God to be effective witnesses for the Lord. And they rejoiced in that. And the power that had been given to them by the one who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. It's the power we need. Yet the Lord said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name written in heaven. If your name is written in heaven, you have every reason to rejoice. If your name is not written in heaven, then you have every reason to mourn. Because only those who have their names written in heaven will be in heaven. That then brought the Lord to bring this word of advice. That word of advice makes up our text to verse 20. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not. Didn't want them to get carried away. We pointed out again this morning what the Lord said regarding the children of Israel when they would come out of Egypt and would enter into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. They would become fat with the good things of the land. And when they would become fat, they would forget about the Lord. And that's what happened. We read that in Deuteronomy 31 and also Deuteronomy 32. And then we went over to Nehemiah in chapter 9. Nehemiah is recounting what happened. And we noted there that what the Lord gave to the children of Israel, He took it all away. And if we get carried away and get taken up with our earthly possessions and the gifts the Lord has given to us, the Lord can take it all away if we turn our back on Him. He can take it away just as quickly. Now that brings us to another part of this word of advice the Lord gave. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. He spoke about restraint in regard to the rejoicing. And now he speaks to them about a register. Their names are registered in heaven. Their names were written in heaven. If they are written in heaven, then there must be a register in heaven. There must be a book in heaven. A book that contains their names. And regarding this register or book, we notice that we have here the annals of the Lord. The Lord told the 70 disciples that their names were written in heaven. It is in heaven where their names were registered. They were written in what the psalmist called the Book of the Living. Psalm 69, verse 28. Or what Paul calls in Philippians 4, verse 3, the Book of Life. Daniel 12, and verse 1, it is simply called the Book. Malachi 3, verse 16, it is called the Book of Remembrance. Revelation 21, verse 27, it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. So there it is. There is a book in heaven. There is a book in heaven that contains all the names of those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior. Indeed, the Lord has many books. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Revelation. Revelation 20, in verse 12, listen to this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Hear that, sinner. It's all recorded. Your behavior, your attitude, your works, they're all written down in the books that are kept in heaven, and you'll be judged out of those things that are written in those books. That's not my word. That's not what I say. It's what God says. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. There's the register. The Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Remembrance. The book that we have considered. And Paul spoke about, and Daniel spoke about, and the psalmist spoke about, and the Savior, and John here in the Isle of Patmos. There are books kept that records all the actions, the works, the behavior of sinners. They'll be judged out of those books and what is written there. But there's a Book of Life. How do you get your name in the Book of Life? Well, we sang this morning, grace, first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb and all my sorrow took saved by grace alone. This was all my plea. Jesus died for sinful man, and Jesus died for me. You see, the only way you can get your name written in the book of life is if you've been saved by grace. Oh, you may have your name on the church roll, but when it comes to eternity, your name on the church roll doesn't mean that. It's not worth the paper it's written on. You may have your name written many, many places, but if it's not written in the book of life, you'll not be in heaven. That's for sure. But that's what God says. We just read it, have we not? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My, if I didn't have my name written in the book of life, after reading that, I would want it written there. I would want to make sure my name's in the book of life. I don't want to be cast into a lake of fire. So you see. See what the Lord was saying? Rejoice, rather, because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice, because your names are written in the book of life. And if your names are written in the book of life, you'll never be in hell. That's as good a reason as any to rejoice. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's what he meant in these words. I want you to notice something else. Not only do we have the annals of the Lord, this book in heaven, but we have the awareness of the Lord. Notice how the Lord spoke with authority to the 70 about their names being written in heaven. What did the Lord say? Rejoice rather, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So the Lord was sure of it. He spoke with authority. He was aware of the 70 disciples. He was aware that their names were written in heaven. He was aware of it. You know, whenever name is written in the book of life, when someone's name is written down in heaven, we see here that the Lord gives it his personal attention. That's very evident from what we have just read. He knew that the names of each of the 70 disciples were written in heaven. He knew that. He was personally involved in it, of course. He was the one who had saved them. He was the one who would die for them. This in itself not cause us to rejoice that the King of Glory knew the name of each one of those disciples, and he knew also that their names were written in heaven. As well as it being a Canadian citizen, I'm a British citizen. I'm a servant of the Queen of England. I'm one of her subjects. Now I can guarantee that Queen Elizabeth doesn't even know I exist, or anybody else in her realm for that matter, with the exception of her immediate family and close friends. She doesn't know a thing about me. But here's the King of Glory. And the King of Glory knows my name. I am known personally to Him, just as the 70 disciples, each one of them, the Lord knew them personally. No wonder the Lord told His disciples to rejoice in this. And once again, believer, no matter what we have or we don't have, no matter what we possess or don't possess as far as this world's goods are concerned, we can rejoice in this, that our names are written in heaven. And I tell you this, that is worth more than all the gold of this world. Because money, silver and gold will not write my name in heaven, or anybody else's. But the blood of Christ will. Rejoice, rather, your names are written in heaven. As we said this morning, with 70 disciples mentioned here, and that's all we know about them, they were 70 of them. But we don't know the name of one of them. But the Lord Jesus knew the names of each of them, because He had personally written their names in heaven. And again, our names may not be known outside our family circles, our close friends. But glory to God, our names are known in heaven. And the King of Glory, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knows us personally. As He personally entered our names in that great register in heaven. That would make us sing glory, wouldn't it? Next, regarding our names being written in heaven, the Lord gives it His personal attention, and He gives it His particular attention. We discover that the Lord records the particulars regarding our salvation. It is not just our names that are written in heaven, but did you know this? That in heaven, we have the details of our conversion written in heaven. Turn with me to the Psalms. In Psalm 87. In Psalm 87. Lord here is speaking about Jerusalem, speaking about Zion. Well, we're going to the new Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem is a type of the heavenly Jerusalem. And in the new, in the earthly Jerusalem, a register was kept. You can read about that in the book of Nehemiah. When the children of Israel come up out of Babylon, there was one who stood at the gates, and he had a register of the names of all the families. And only those whose names were written in that register could enter into Jerusalem. Well, only those who have their names written in the register in heaven can enter into the new Jerusalem. But look at what the psalmist says. Psalm 87 and verse 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest Himself shall establish her. Verse 6, the Lord shall count when He writeth up the people, that this man was born there. Now we see the detail that the Lord goes into with regard to our salvation. For we are told here, the Lord shall come. When he writeth up the people, when he writes their names in the register in the New Jerusalem, when he writes their name in glory, and he'll add this detail, that this man was born there. To me, that is quite wonderful. The Lord attends to all these details. You notice something? He pays attention to the count. He knows how many saints will be in heaven. Just as he told the disciples to cast the net on the right side of the ship, which they did. Gospel nets have been spread. We were caught in the gospel net. And every soul that will be in heaven, that is in heaven and will be in heaven, are caught in the gospel net, and the Lord knows the number. He knows exactly who he died for. He knows exactly all about who he saved. And all the details are written down here in heaven. Let the Lord do the counting. I've seen magazines, seen papers put out by certain churches, and there's a whole page. The church report, and it gives a number. I like to boast in numbers. So many hundreds at the Sunday school, so many hundreds coming to church in buses, so many saved, so many baptized, and it's all numbers. Men are formed of counting heads and counting hands. And the Lord knows how many will be in heaven. The preachers today are obsessed with numbers. I'll give you an example. This will disgust you because it disgusts me. I'm not telling you a yarn. This is a true story. Certain church held a children's mission for a week. A week of meetings for children. The theme of that week of meetings was heaven. And the last night of the mission, the week of meetings, the pastor of the church set out two barrels or two drums at the door. And he gave every child a slip of paper. On one of these drums, there was a label that said heaven. It was all nicely decorated. On the other drum was another label which said hell. It wasn't nicely decorated at all. And at the end of the meeting, the pastor said to the children, "Now, if you want to go to heaven, you write your name on that piece of paper, and you drop it into the drum that says heaven. If you want to go to hell, write your name on a slip of paper and put it into the drum that says hell." That's disgusting. What is it for? Because that same pastor was speaking to another one of his fellow pastors a few days later. And he was able to boast. He boasted to this pastor, "We had a children's mission, and every child had saved." Quite simply because every child put a slip of paper in the drum that said heaven. To me, that's the thing. sporting and blasphemy. The soul will not be in heaven because they put a slip of paper with their name on it in a drum that said heaven. Soul will be in heaven because the Spirit of God brought conviction in that person's heart and soul and regenerated that soul and brought that soul to life in Jesus Christ, and that soul was saved by the blood of Christ. That's how a soul gets there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That pastor wanted to be able to boast to his friend. We had X number of children saved. Pity those children. Because I would believe that many of them would be depending on heaven. What they did that night, to think they're going to heaven because they took a slip of paper with their name on into a drum that said heaven. Let the Lord do that kind of thing. We'll preach the gospel. By the grace of God, be faithful in the proclamation of it. And may the Lord ever deliver us from playing games with the souls of men and women and children. May the Lord deliver us from engaging in such tricks and sleight of hand so that we can chalk up the numbers. We will look to the Holy Ghost to do the converting, and we'll look to the Lord to do the converting. That's what we have here. The Lord shall touch. Let him touch. Notice the attention he pays to the count, and also the attention he pays to the convert. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man, the individual, was born there. This man. We live in a day in which we're all given numbers, isn't that right? And you phone up to make an inquiry about something and they say, "What's your number? What's the number of your account?" You could say your name's Tom Dooley for all they would care, as long as you've got the number. We're just a number these days. Here's reason for us to rejoice. That we're not just a number to Christ. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man is interested in us as individuals. And that teaches us that we have here, and that's what we preach, and that's what we believe in, a personal salvation and a personal faith. What we have here, this man. He pays attention also to the circumstances, for it says the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born. There, where? In Zion. The very place is mentioned here. Why isn't that great? To me, that is wonderful. That's good reason to rejoice. Where were you saved? You can go back in your mind tonight. Say, "Oh, I know where I was saved. I was saved at home, or I was saved at a church meeting. I was saved at my bedside. Wherever it was, wherever it took place, it's written in heaven, this man was born there. I know what's written beside my name. I know in heaven it's recorded, the 5th of May, the Monday night, about 9:30. Congregation, Presbyterian, this man was born there. It's recorded in heaven. Something to rejoice in, but not. Look at this term. And the Lord said to the 70, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Saying your names are already there. Your names are written in heaven. My, that would have given them great assurance. Some people go through life and don't know whether they're saved or not. Some people go through life. They think the Lord loves them one day and doesn't love them the next day. They go through life and they think they can be saved one week and not saved the next week and then saved again. Dear help us. And the Lord saves us. He writes her name down for the life. Those names are never. We may have our names broke off, left down here on earth, but our names are never the stroke. Good reason to rejoice. We read in Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5, speaking to the church of Sardis. Verse 5, Revelation 3. He that overcometh, same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Praise God. Believer, that's something to rejoice in. The Lord will not blot out your name. The word blot there means to wipe out. Just as Mr. Six would write something on the board for the children, and at the end of the day, wipe them out. Tempesting anymore. Lord says, I'll never do that with your name. Your name is written by the Lord. And I'm not giving any of it. You know it will never be on fire. Something to it. And finally, briefly, the Lord now had the word with the disciples about rejoicing. So the Lord said to them, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. So here the Lord is telling his people to rejoice. We're to rejoice. Christians are to be a rejoicing people. Just take time. Just take a moment the next time you're out in the street or sitting in the car. Look into the faces of people that pass you by. Hardly would you ever see anyone smile. Everyone seems to be sorrowful. Here they are. the thoughts and the cares of life pressing upon us. There'll be much joy for you. The Lord says to His people, rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here's an exhortation. Do you believe that? Here is the Lord telling us to rejoice. Surely we shouldn't need to be told to rejoice. Is there not that joyous spirit already within our hearts? Preacher who I was very fond of and listened to many times was the late Pastor Willie Mullins. Mr. Mullins used to say, you know, some people think that whenever they get saved, they're supposed to, as he put it, die out in the faith. In other words, he says, they seem to think they're not supposed to laugh. They're not supposed to be joyous. And they go about as though all belonging to them is dead. The Lord Jesus says, rather, some people never really rejoice until they get saved. That's when they start to rejoice. That's when they have joy in their heart, when they receive Christ. Jeremiah chapter 9. Something to say in this matter. Again, we mentioned this morning, if you rejoice because your name are written in heaven, that's something that will never change. But if your rejoicing is in your possession, that will change. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 9 verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or rejoice in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Let him rejoice in the fact that he knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Lord delights in those things, let us delight in them. Don't rejoice in these other things. Oh, you can rejoice in them, but rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the fact that you know Him. You have not only the exhortation, but the exaltation. Let us consider how our name came to be written. We most certainly did not put them there. Who wrote our name? Our names are in heaven tonight because of the Lord. Because He loved us. Because He died for us. Because He shed His blood for us. So let us rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And again in the same third chapter of Philippians, he said, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Whatever you do, don't rejoice in flesh. Pass a vote of no confidence in the flesh and rejoice in Christ Jesus. So dear child of God, in light of what we have heard today, let me say with the psalmist, Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Why? Because the name of the Lord. Bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we do rejoice tonight in what Christ has done for us. We do take to heart the words of Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. O Lord, even we think of how Paul had to exhort the believers to rejoice, and the Lord Jesus to exhort His disciples to rejoice, because their names are written in heaven. O Lord, surely should need to be exhorted. Is it a most natural thing to do, because our names are written in heaven, because we have been saved by grace alone. And grace has written our names in God's eternal book. Lord, bless the words of our hearts today. May we go home rejoicing. Take us, Lord, to our homes and stay. Lord, for any tonight, they know their names are not written in the book of life. Lord, may they make sure of it tonight. They're receiving Thee as their Savior. Give us all traveling, keep us much in prayer till we meet again, God willing, on Wednesday night to pray. Seek the face of God. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now till the great day comes.